Also like to say good morning to each of you, and would like to greet you in our Savior's name this morning, and glad for this time of worship where we can be together in God's house in worship of our Savior. Blessed by the service, and was inspired as each of you took your part, and I pray that God's name would be glorified and He would continue to speak to us. I would like to continue with an Old Testament passage. Realize that we had Old Testament, and I appreciated the thoughts and devotions, the Old Testament story of Daniel, and then our Sunday school lesson, at least in the adult, was from the Old Testament. But it's interesting when we look into the Old Testament, it gives us a picture of how to live our New Testament lives. And it's often the Old Testament stories that help us know how to make applications and how to relate to the New Testament teachings. And I invite your attention to Nehemiah 3. And I'm sure for some of you, if you were here the last time I stood here, you may remember that we looked at some of this passage before, and yes, I would like to continue on with some of those thoughts. I've entitled the message this morning, Jerusalem's Valley Gate. And for you as Bible students, I'm sure you understand the story of Nehemiah, where it starts as in ruins. And till we get to the end of the book of Nehemiah, the city has been rebuilt. But here, specifically in Nehemiah chapter 3, we find the work assigned. We find that men have been assigned to rebuilding the city walls, and men have also been assigned to rebuilding the city gates. And our focus as last time, and we'll just highlight a few of that just to give us a foundation for today. But we're going to be looking at a couple of these gates in this passage, and we want to draw some spiritual applications to them, and we want to apply it to our lives today. That's really the core issue of looking into the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is how can we apply it to our life today? This is a simple thought, but I think it's very important that when we think of gates, they are very important. A wall is important, but a gate is important, and a gate is simply a way in, a way out. It either keeps in or it keeps out. And how we want to apply that to our lives is we need to think of the points in our life where we let things in or we throw things out. And this morning, it's you, each one of us, is responsible for that in our own life. We are responsible. We determine what comes into our soul, into our mind, into our heart. We determine what gets thrown out of our soul, of our mind. We determine what is kept there, what we treasure, what we keep in our heart and in our soul. So when we talk about gates this morning, we're talking about that monitoring or filtering or that entry point of what we let come in or what we put out. And that's important as God's children, of what we allow into our life. Jerusalem, we remember that Jerusalem was laying in ruins. It's because the enemy came. And I don't know whether they attacked at the walls or whether they attacked at the gates. But this morning, the enemy of your soul, he is attacking those entry points into your mind, into your heart. And that's what he wants to destroy. He wants to control those points. Just as Jerusalem lay in ruin, and it needed to be rebuilt, each of our lives this morning needs to be built. And we need to make sure we have strong guard. We need to stand guard over what comes into our lives, what we keep in our lives, and what we throw out. Now, I wish this morning that I had a map, and I think I'll try and use the board here. if that's all right. I drew on it what appears to be the outline of the Old Testament Jerusalem, and I looked quite extensively for a map that would work, and I couldn't find one. And they vary some, but I took the map. I'm going to be referring to what I have in my Bible as an outline of the city of Jerusalem. And it has that general shape to it. And we're going to be basing our image of Jerusalem off of that. Your Bible may have a little different version to the map. But here in Nehemiah chapter 3, there are 10 gates mentioned. And last time we looked at three of them, and I'm only going to be reading a few of these verses, partially because of all the names in them. But last time we talked about the Sheep Gate, and I'll just refresh our memory on a little bit of this. And if you were not here, hopefully this will give you an inspiration and a foundation. The Sheep Gate was located at the top, right about in this area. And the temple was located right inside there. Obviously, it was the point where they brought the sheep to the temple. And we know the temple, we know the story. The temple was a place of sacrifice, and they needed sheep for the offering. So that was the Sheep Gate, and it was located at the top. And there was a couple things that were important about the Sheep Gate. I'll just highlight a couple of them that we talked about. The number one is that it points us to the Lamb of God. We know that Jesus was the perfect Lamb, the one who was willing to be sacrificed for our sins. And for each person, each Christian, we need to maintain the Sheep Gate, the place of sacrifice. We find that in Jesus. And there's a couple interesting things about the Sheep Gate. It was the only gate that was sanctified. And it was the only gate that did not have locks and bars on it. And I think that's important when we think of the gate of sacrifice, that it is open to whosoever will. And also that it is the way. It is the way of sanctification. It starts at the Sheep Gate. It's interesting to note that this passage here in Nehemiah 3 starts with the Sheep Gate. I would say that it is the most important place for us to start, and that is at the place of sacrifice. If you will look down to verse 3, it mentions the Fish Gate, and talked about that a little bit, and I'll just mention a couple things. That gate was located a little further. It was over more in this area right here. That would be the Fish Gate. And if you were to study the lay of the land, and we'll refer to that a little bit, where Jerusalem was situated, you would know that the Mediterranean Sea was over in this area. The Jordan River came down here. There was a couple seas located over in this area. And just with the way the land lay, there would have been a lot of merchants and travel through this area here. So with seas close by, obviously there was fishing going on. That was a big industry. And so we have here the Fish Gate. And right inside would have been a fish market where they would have brought the fish to sell, to buy and purchase. Now, what do we see in the Fish Gate? If you will remember, we looked at the Fish Gate. And when God saves his people, he wants them to go forth as fishers of men. Wherever there are people, God wants his people, God wants his children to be fishers of men. Jesus gave his disciples the command to go forth and to be fishers of men. We want to be, and that is important for his people, to be fishers of men. The next one we looked at, and that is in verse 6. And that is the Old Gate. That was again located, I would say, over in this area. Would have been the Old Gate. And the Old Gate was, there was an old path there that dated way back. It was an old path. And In that gate, it is very easy to see the picture of truth. Truth always is, always will be. And we noted that that gate did not need to be rebuilt, it needed to be repaired, because we know truth always is, and truth always will be. It cannot be destroyed. And in that verse we read that the old gate repaired. They did not rebuild that one. So let's remember that, and let's move on now down to verse 13. And I think I'll read verses 13 through 15. The valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Haxarim. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalon, the son of Kohoza, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. All right, these verses in verse 13, it introduces us to the valley gate. And I wish this morning that we could just talk about these three gates. We talked about salvation. We talked about being workers for God, spreading His word. And we talked about truth. And I wish I could tell you that that sums up the life for a Christian. But I'm sure you have probably been a Christian long enough that you realize that there's more to life than that. And if we follow the picture here of Jerusalem, there was a long way down through here until we get to the Valley Gate. My Bible has the Valley Gate located about down here somewhere. And if you understand, if you were to look, if we had an actual picture of the city of Jerusalem, it would be easier to tell why we're talking about going down. We know that this is north. We often talk about going down when it's south, but there's another reason we're talking about going down. If you will remember where the temple was located, where the temple was built. Now, if you refer to that area, they call it Temple Mount. But this was, they think this was Mount Moriah, where the temple was built. If you look at the elevation on a map, you will find that it is definitely going down. And there is a way that we want to apply that this morning. When we talk about valleys, we often talk about low times in our lives. I wish this morning that we could talk maybe like it was for Peter. Over in this area, if you will remember when Jesus walked, over here was the Mount of Olives. And you remember the time when Jesus was there, and I think it was three of the disciples, they were over there on that mount. And who was it? Elijah, Moses came, and they were with Jesus for a little while. And Peter made the comment, he said, "It is good to be here." And I hope this morning for each of you, I don't know what you're facing in your personal life, but I hope that you're at a spot where you're saying it's good to be here. However, I want us to think about the fact that we're not always at those spots in our Christian life. And sometimes we're at places where we would rather not be. And it tends to be what we call a low time in our Christian life. We will see that this morning as we look at the Valley Gate. And again, I hope you're not there this morning, but I'm also realizing that there's a possibility that we might experience a low time in our lives, and that's what we want to be ready for if if we ever find ourselves there. Verse 13 talks about the Valley Gate. It was a very difficult gate to build. And out of all the gates, there was, we won't have time to look at these, but I think there was five more gates up the eastern side of Jerusalem. This was probably one of the most difficult gates to rebuild. And that was because of where it was situated. Have you ever tried a building project on the edge of a ravine? It's thought that it could have been up to 2,000 feet down. And we know it's difficult enough to build where the land is flat, let alone where it is such a deep ravine. I think there's a way that we can apply that. When we think about valley experiences in our Christian lives, we know they're difficult times. And we sometimes wonder, you know, why and what. And we do not want to downplay the fact that God does allow difficult times for his children. And we want to look a little closer at that. Again, if we look back at Jerusalem, and this brings us to some of our main thoughts this morning. Jerusalem, where it was situated, had two valleys. There was a valley down below. It started at the west and it flowed through the south. And then there was another valley that came down through here. And they connected below the city in that area. If you went out through the valley gate, you would have looked into what they call Hinnom Valley. And that's not in our passage this morning, but we'll look at a couple verses that refer to that. Probably what we hear more of when we talk about Jerusalem is the valley down through here, and that is the Kidron Valley. And they are associated with Jerusalem, and there's some things I think that we can learn from them. Again, the point is that valleys are a part of our experience. When we're walking with Christ, not every day is going to be on a mountain. We will sometimes be what we might call a harder time or a lower time. And we see that pictured in the Valley Gate. Let's look closer at this valley gate. As I mentioned, there was two valleys, the Hinnom Valley and the Kidron Valley. And I would like to make this point when we think of that. In the Christian experience, we face valleys. And I think we can sum them up pretty much in two categories. And the one category I would label as we face hard times either because of wrong choices we make or because God allows them into our life. There's two verses that I think bring this out. Hebrews 12:11, I'll read that. And I think this talks about hard times that God allows. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." It talks about a hard time, but then it talks about resulting in a peaceable fruit of righteousness. I see that as something that God allows in our life. But there are other hard times that we face, and I think that they might be a result of wrong choices that we make. Here's a verse from Galatians 6:7. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I think we'll see this morning that we can make choices, but we can't control the consequences. And even when the hard things come that God allows, we're still faced with choices as how we're going to relate to those things. And again, we can't control those consequences either.
So I want us, when we start looking at the Valley Gate a little bit closer, I want us to remember two things. That sometimes we face hard times because it's because of choices we make, or it's because God is allowing this into our life. And I know there'd be many, many passages of Scripture that we could look at, again, of Old Testament characters who faced hard things. We know Job and different others who made wrong choices and the hard things that they faced. And it was a result of the choices that they made. I would like to look a little closer at the Hinnom Valley. And what we are going to be looking at is when you come out through the Valley Gate, it stepped into Hinnom Valley. And I see in Hinnom Valley an illustration of what may happen in our lives if we make wrong choices and the consequences that happen. And I think Hinnom Valley is known for three things. We read about three things in our Bible about Hinnom Valley, and I think each of those three things will give us a comparison about what we might experience if we face wrong choices. And I would like to do that at this time. The first one is, and found the first passage we have is in 2 Corinthians 33, verse 6. It talks about this valley that the Valley Gate would lead into. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 6. This is talking about Manasseh, and I'm sure you will recognize Manasseh as a king, one of the most wicked kings of Judah, and it tells us what he did here in verse 6. It said, "And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with the familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." The first point I would like to make about valley experiences that we might face, will face, if we make wrong choices, and that is, it's a result of wrong worship. Valley experiences happen because of wrong worship. The Hinnom Valley was known as a location of worship to the Canaan idol Molech. And we read that here where Manasseh was taking part in idol worship, and it doesn't give us all the details here, and I don't think we'll talk about all the details because it was obviously a very hideous and a very cruel type of worship. But it talks about this happening in the Valley of Hinnom. And child sacrifice was a part of it. And it's just awful to think about what this all was. And we let our imagination run. But yet this was happening. That's what Valley of Hinnom was known for. How can we apply this to ourselves today? We know that there were different times that the children of Israel would get wrapped up in wrong worship. They did not worship God, and they became involved in heathen worship and the heathen worship of the surrounding Canaanites. How do we apply that to ourselves today? And I think we can easily conclude that when our worship is turned away from God and instead of directed to God, we will find ourselves in a valley. Obviously, that's going to be a spiritual valley. It's a valley of our own making because of our own choices. And I would say it this way: if we feel ourselves low spiritually, if we feel our life is hard, maybe we feel like we're withdrawn, and we're having a hard time with the church family, one of the first things we need to do is look at our worship. How is our relationship with God? Are we having personal time with Him each day? Are we talking to him daily? How do we value the things of God? Do we even want to be a Christian? Or is it just a must-do? We feel we need to do it. Those things all reflect on our worship and on our relationship with God. You know, there's choices that we can make, and it starts with our worship, the affection of our heart. And if we don't have God on the throne of our heart, those choices are going to take us away from God. They're going to take us into hard times. And we're going to find ourselves in the valley of Hinnom because we have been involved in wrong worship. Again, this morning, I trust that you're not there. I trust that you're enjoying a vibrant relationship with God and that you are not, spiritually speaking, in the valley of Hinnom because it's not a good place to be. The second thing we learn from this valley, and I would like to make this application, is the valley of wrong choices is a place of giants. This valley, Valley of Hinnom, had a history with giants. And there's a verse in Joshua 18:16, and I'll just read it as I have it written here. It's talking about locations, so we're breaking into the middle and pulling out a verse here, but it talks about the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of Jebusai on the south, and descended to Enrogi. Now, there's a lot of different places mentioned here in different locations, but it makes reference to the valley of Hinnom, located in the valley of the giants on the north. So I don't know what all the history is around these giants and why it's all referred to in this area. It'd be interesting to know a lot of more of those details. But we don't. We just know that there was history with giants in this area. And I would like us to think about this point, the valley of wrong choices. If we find ourselves low spiritually, let's think about how we're relating to some of the giants that we face. Are we making wrong choices that are allowing these giants into our lives? What about the giants of discouragement? What about the giants of doubt? What about the giants of fear? What about the giants of bitterness? Or maybe of attitudes? What about old habits? All those things that want to control us. Temptation, the habits of the flesh. How are we dealing with these giants? Are they controlling us? You know, it's possible, it's highly likely that at this point, there was no giants left in that valley. If we did a time study, the verse that I read, I think it was a prior time, and I'm thinking that most of those giants were dead or gone. And maybe even the idol worship, that was probably destroyed by this time. But I would like for us to think about something in our spiritual lives. We might think those giants are dead. We might think that the doubt is gone, the discouragement is gone, the temptations are gone, the bitterness is gone. But what happens when we go back to their old habitat and start dwelling there? And we start digging around where those giants used to live? What happens? We know it's different than in the physical. I think the spiritual principle is clear that, you know, if we go back in our thinking, in our habits, the way of doing, you know, what we listened to, the way we talked, our companions, if we go back there, you know what's going to happen? We're going to again face those struggles. We're going to again face that old life. We know that the danger still abounds spiritually. In that old habitat where those giants lurked, If we go back there, they will come back to life. We know that there was still danger outside of the city because Nehemiah told his people to dwell inside the walls. And that's where God wants each of you this morning. He wants you to be safe. He does not want you to be living in the valley of Hinnom, where those giants are there and they want to, again, consume your life. Let's remember that the valley of wrong choices, if we are facing a hard time, it may be because we have made wrong choices, and there are going to be things that we struggled with in the past that are going to come back to life and are going to be there to control us. All right, so there's one more thing that this valley is known for. And I would like for us to look at that just a little bit this morning. It also introduces us to another gate that was built. And Nehemiah 3, need to get back to my passage here. Nehemiah 3, verse 14. It talks about the dung gate. And probably we would think that church service Sunday morning is not an appropriate time to discuss the dung gate. But it's here in verse 14, and I think there's a very important principle that we need to talk about. And the point is the valley of wrong choices is a place of defilement. The dung gate was located right about here, and it went from the city also into the valley of Hinnom. Jerusalem was a very clean city. And obviously, for it to be clean, there needed to be a reason or a way to relate to all the filth, a way to maintain its cleanliness. And historians tell us that human waste, animal waste, all the filth, the garbage of the city, the dead animals, and even executed criminals were disposed of through this gate into the Hinnom Valley. It was an awful place. I looked in the Bible dictionary and it says it was a place where there was a fire burning continually, maggots, wild dogs. And I'm sure we can imagine the stink, the smell, the rot, the filth. It was there in Hinnom Valley. How do we want to apply that this morning? The valley of wrong choices is a place of defilement. God wants each of his children to be pure. Every follower of Christ needs to have a dung gate, and we need to maintain it. We need, as God's followers, we need to get rid of the garbage and waste that accumulates in our lives because of sin. Now, we know that when we accepted Christ as Savior, there was probably things in our life that needed to go. God spoke to us when we repented and we looked at our life and we're like, you know, I need to get rid of this, I need to get rid of this, and I need to get rid of this. Hinnom Valley, right there, that's a good spot for it. Filth, it's of the world. We need it out of our life. But here's the question. Is it still out of our life? Are we going back to it? Do we revisit Hinnom Valley? Or do we keep that stuff out of our life? And then the second question is, how is it as we live our lives as Christians from day to day? We live in the world and we know that the world is full of filth. What do we do with those things? Every day as we go about our day, we see things that are not right. Do we get them out of our life? Dump them in Hinnom Valley. What about the things we hear? Maybe let's get rid of them. Out into Hinnom Valley. Galatians 4:9 says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" You know, there are things in our life that will drag us down if we do not keep them out of our life. And that's why we need to have this thing that's called a dung gate, where the refuse, the rubbish, the garbage, that's where it belongs. Get rid of it. God wants His city to be pure. He wants it to be kept clean. And He has made a way possible that we can get those things out of our life that will bring in the rot and the filth of the world. I encourage you this morning to maintain that what we call the dung gate, where we are keeping our life pure and holy. So now we've looked at three things that are associated with the Hinnom Valley and also with the Valley Gate. If you came out through the Valley Gate and stepped into the Hinnom Valley, that would have been the history of the Valley Gate. And as I mentioned, there are times that we face that are low times, and they might be because of wrong choices that we have made. I do not want to end on a negative note this morning, and I would like to just have us look at the gate of the fountain, which is in verse 15, because that was over around the corner, and it's wonderful to note that right close to what we call the dung gate was the gate of the fountain, or the fountain gate. And I hope that brings encouragement to your heart this morning. When you think of the dealing with the filth, when you think of dealing with the unpleasant things around us, you do not need to go far to get to the fountain gate. And we do not have time this morning to look at. Like I said, there was five more gates located up through the Kidron Valley. And the Kidron Valley gives us another picture. It gives us a picture of facing more difficult times that God allows in our lives. And if we were to look at those five gates, we would see refreshment. We would see strength. We would see preparation. And that's all found as we think of the Kidron Valley. And I'm sure if you read your Bible, you will remember some of the history and some of the things that happened. Kidron Valley, over here would have been the Mount of Olives. And there is some wonderful truths there. So I'll just put that out to you to take with you the study and to be blessed by it. But we need to remember that valley experiences aren't always because of our wrong choices. Sometimes God allows that. I would like to give you one more thought yet. With the Valley Gate, back to the Valley Gate. So what do we do with it? The Valley Gate was a way out of the valley into the city. If we're in a valley of wrong choices, there is a way out. We do not need to be in that valley. I would like to give you two thoughts. 2 Chronicles 26:9. And I should have that verse written down, and I don't. Let me just read that verse for you. And this is how we need to relate to the Valley Gate. 2 Chronicles 26:9 says, "Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the Valley Gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them." Uzziah built a tower at the Valley Gate. And I would like to tell you this morning that for the Valley Gate in our life, let's put a tower there. A tower was a watchtower. It was a place that they were on guard. That's where they watched to make sure that there was no attacks. We talked about the gates being under attack by the enemy. Watch your valley experiences. And then in Nehemiah, if we looked at Nehemiah, when he came to Jerusalem and he started his inspection of the walls, he started at the Valley Gate. And then he went around and he came back to the Valley Gate. And I think when we look at our lives and we inspect our lives before God, that's also a good thing for us to do. How do we do in hard times? That's often where our weak points are. And maybe that's just me. But when we're walking through the valley, that's often when it really shows up who we really are spiritually. Let's start our inspections there and see how we are doing. Because if we can be faithful in the hard times, surely it's easier to be faithful when things are going well. I would like to give you two verses from Psalm, or three verses. I'll just read them here. It's, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Now that talking about the valley of Baca, which we're not sure where that is. But that word means tears or desolate. And this verse gives us the picture of something that looks like a desert, but it can become a well. And that is simply because it's a man whose strength is in thee, or a man whose strength is in God. If we're facing hard times, let's remember that it is possible to turn them into a valley where there are wells, a valley where there are refreshments, a valley where there is rain that filleth the pools. It can be a lush place. I know it's very difficult to think about, but let's keep our strength in God because He is the one that can help us every step of the way. Let's kneel for prayer at this time.